36 minutes after the hour. Welcome to Faith Radio Mornings. So glad you joined us today. Thursdays, I always need a big dose of heart and soul, and I can always get that when I talk to Kim Cotola. So my needs get met. Kim, welcome to the show.
Ooh, that's a tall order this early in the morning, Bill. Good morning.
It's so very, very true. All right, I want to say last year, Planned Parenthood revealed its 2014 stats, 323,000 abortions to the tune of $553 million from U.S. taxpayers. Those are huge numbers, and it's dreadful to think of, but there is a little slight bit of positive news, is that abortions were down by 11 or 13%.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting about those statistics, well, there are a number of things, but one, the thing that really jumps out at me is that that abortion number mm-hmm. was pretty steady, even though their overall business went down. And that speaks to charges that have been out there for a while from some of their former workers, including people like Abby Johnson, who used to be the director of one of the larger Planned Parenthood facilities in Houston. And she said they had quotas. As directors of those facilities, they were told, we need to funnel people into making the abortion choice because that's where the profit rests. And she documented that in her book Unplanned. I'm paraphrasing, of course, mm-hmm. but she documented that in her book Unplanned. And if we look at these numbers, we see, well, that may be the case here, because if they're having fewer visits, but their abortion numbers are staying steady, maybe we can conclude that that is an emphasis for them as they're seeing people.
Mm-hmm. But overall, it's still stunning, the number of abortions that take place and the amount of money that the government gets from taxpayers who would otherwise be very opposed to this whole idea.
Well,
it's still a constant conflict in my heart anyway.
I know. And the thing, Bill, that really so tenders my heart when I see this number, 323,999 abortions by Planned Parenthood in 2014. It's such a precise number. You know, it'd be easy for them to report 324,000 abortions.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? They were one shy. And think about that one child that didn't get aborted. Think mm-hmm. about those individual lives mm-hmm. that were snuffed out. And also, you know, the other number that's really important here is that $553.7 million from U.S. taxpayers. The Hyde Amendment says federal money cannot go for abortion services. But state by state, there are states that are using taxpayer funds to pay for abortion, including California, among others. And that means that it involves people like you and me who may never be walking into a Planned Parenthood facility because our dollars are subsidizing it. And the other thing that's important for us to know as bystanders in this, because that's my model, Bill, abortion's going to stop when the bystanders get engaged. It's just like schoolyard bullying. Okay, you have an unattractive victim. I mean, even among Christian circles, we can judge and hold our noses if an unmarried woman shows up pregnant at church. Of course, we don't, you know, present ourselves that way, but in our heart of hearts, often that's what happens. And you have this unattractive victim, and then you have the bully saying, yeah, here, give me your money, and I'm going to take care of that. And this is going to end when the bystanders, you and me and the rest who aren't involved directly, say, enough. You're not doing that to this woman.
Mm-hmm.
Not here, not now. And so as we think about where our tax dollars are going, you have to realize that Planned Parenthood, as Carly Fiorina pointed out, is a slush fund. They're taking that federal money for quote unquote health care, and they're turning health care, that is, and they're turning around and giving it to candidates to elect them to further the cause of abortion rights.
Mm.
And that's well documented as well.
Mm-hmm.
They spent over $500,000 in the last presidential campaign electing President Obama, and also even I think triple that amount with negative ads against his opponent. And so if this is okay with you, that's great. Go about your day.
Mm.
If as a bystander this troubles you, it's time for us to stand up and do something about
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah, my blood pressure just did go up a little. which is counterintuitive to what happens when I normally talk to you.
Okay.
All right. Well. Now, Kim, Friday is the 43rd anniversary of the Supreme Court Roe v. Wade decision. And they're reviewing some things politicians have said over the years, and I found this one to be of particular interest. It was a letter that Bill Clinton wrote to the Arkansas Right to Life in 86, and he said, "I'm opposed to abortion and to government funding of abortions. We should not spend state funds on abortions because so many people believe abortion is wrong."
Hello, what I just presented, a fairly reasonable point of view,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, common sense, wow, what a concept. But guess what happens when the Planned Parenthood representative shows up with the nice bundle of money for your campaign?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to be cynical, but I think that's exactly as far as we need to go in our thinking on this. And now, occasionally a politician will say, well, I heard from women that they needed abortion. I heard from women that it was a net good in their life. Mm. You know, that's the latest, by the way, Bill.
Oh,
that's the latest in abortion politics. Katha Pollitt wrote a book called Pro, and it's now unapologetic that abortion is a societal good because it releases women to empower them to reach their full potential. So no apologies, no exceptions, no restrictions. Abortion is not only, you know, necessary, but it's good in the lives of women.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the line that Hillary Clinton is taking. This extreme position, and that represents a change for her in the current election cycle. She used to be at Bill's middle ground, which was former President Clinton's middle ground, which was abortion should be safe, legal, and rare.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't play anymore. We don't want it to be rare. We got to keep those quota numbers up.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's I don't think it's difficult to see what happens when a pro-life politician pivots.
Mm-hmm. Kim, I know Nancy Pelosi, the House Minority Leader, made a couple of remarks recently. Can you comment on what she said and how it was received?
Well, she varied from the talking points and made a statement about how she was not for abortion on demand. It was pretty simple. That's what she said. She said, you know, I follow the Catholic teaching. I'm not for abortion on demand. And this was just not okay. She had to be corrected. And so they criticized her over what they called a disappointing and ill-advised remark. And this was published last week. The California Democrat, of course, Nancy Pelosi, defended a woman's right to abortion, but she said, "I don't believe in abortion on demand." The interview appeared in Roll Call. Covers Congress and their members and different things that are happening with legislation. And so NARAL, Pro-Choice America, said in a written statement that with abortion rights under attack by lawmakers, do you love their wording there?
Mm-hmm.
Under attack by lawmakers, advocates need their supporters to speak with a clear and strong voice and should not use twisted GOP talking points. So by saying she was not in favor of abortion on demand, and that's shorthand, Bill, for abortion as birth control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I don't have to give you any reason. I don't have to have a good reason. There doesn't need to be any exception because of rape or incest. We don't need to consider, you know, that women might want an abortion for an economic reason, such as, you know, furthering their education, or they may be trying to flee a difficult relationship. I mean, some of these reasons, pull on our heartstrings. They're still not justification because they assume that the unborn is not human, which is the reason why we as followers of Christ need to be against abortion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but even so, she said, "I'm not for that. I'm not for abortion on demand." She was identifying that, look, people, there's a really extreme point of view developing here, and I'm not on board with it. And they were not okay with that. And you know what? In the recent election cycle, they gave her $1,000, it was reported, and they come to get the receipt when you start speaking out, you know. And so that wasn't reported by Roll Call or even by the OC Register or some of the other, you know, news sources that reported this controversy between Pelosi and NARAL, which stands for the National Abortion Rights Action League. But if you follow the money, you can see that she's taken their funding for her campaigns, and they want her to pay back. Mm-hmm. It's a real simple formula.
Yeah, Kim, the only person speaking with a strong and clear voice is you. So we're going to give you a little break here. We come back, we're going to talk more with Kim Cotola from Cradle My Heart Radio. 46 minutes after the hour. Be back in a minute. Minutes after the hour, welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. Talking to Kim Cotola from Cradle My Heart Radio. That show is up on the Faith Radio Network Sundays at 8 o'clock Central Time. And she is a brilliant person to talk to always about the abortion subject. And that's why her whole show has been created. And she gives encouragement and hope, information to listeners. And we love her. So anyway, Kim, back to the subject at hand. I saw that the conservatives and pro-life people are really troubled by the mainstream media's complete lack of coverage with this ongoing video expose of Planned Parenthood's schemes and what they found out about harvesting body parts for money.
Again, there is a financial component to this story, and this was reported over the summer of last year when those stories first came out. Crisis Magazine did a beautiful job in August with the headline, Why News Corporations Protect Planned Parenthood. And, you know, if we talk about the press as being, you know, the fifth estate as being the thing that is supposed to be outside of influence and lobbying and et cetera, it just is not the case, at least on this issue. You take, for example, the reporting here about foundations that are ostensibly separate from news organizations, but do funding and do grants. And so you look at the Ford Foundation. That's been a major supporter of abortion rights and Planned Parenthood for decades. And, for example, in their they gave $2.5 million to Planned Parenthood in 2013, according to Ford's tax return. Oh, sitting on Ford's board of trustees, Cecile Richard.
Mm.
Now, beyond this, they gave grants to the Los Angeles Times, the Washington Post, as part of an investment in quality journalism.
Wow.
They give grants to the National Association of Black Journalists, the National Association of Hispanic Journalists, and elsewhere on their website, they have an action plan to promote abortion rights in the United States by developing national reproductive and sexual health policies and laws supported by regional and international standards. Right? And so this could not be considered on any measure neutral.
Mm-hmm.
They're straight up funding abortion as public policy. And if you think that you can pick up those newspapers or look to, you know, those organizations that are putting out news releases and think that you're getting some kind of neutral, unbiased reporting when their cash infusion is coming from those who are advancing abortion rights, you're wrong. It can't happen that way. Mm-hmm. It's not the way the world works. And that's just one small example from this reporting on Crisis Magazine. And, you know, I think it's so illuminating. And, Bill, here's the thing I want to say. If you've had an abortion, this may seem like the last thing that you need to be thinking about. You need to be thinking about your relationship with the Lord, repairing your relationship with people from whom you've been hiding this essential fact of your life, other really deep, heartfelt, emotional, and spiritual problems. But I want you to know that as that process unfolds in your life, there may come a time when you get angry about what has been happening over your head and the forces that led you into that choice, really without your even, you just carried along into the choice, Bill. I know that was true for me.
Mm-hmm.
No one was speaking truth to me. And this was the reasonable choice, you know, like all the politicians make it sound. And there's an aspect to our healing when we stand up in the public square and we say, I will not be a victim to this anymore. There's an aspect to our healing that says, I want to expose the deeds of darkness here, and I want others to not be hurt in the same way by this juggernaut that is the abortion rights movement in America.
Mm-hmm. Kim, I had a friend send me a quote this morning, and he said, the first principle is that you must not fool yourself, and you are the easiest person to fool. A gentleman named Richard Feynman wrote that. But, you know, I'm listening to what you're saying about the Washington Post and all these people who are getting funds to help support the initiatives, and they're already spinning it, going with words like organ harvesting to using a more softer fetal organs used for research, to just try to soft pedal it entirely.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. I mean, it happens at that subtle level. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, Bill, you know, I've worked in news radio for a lot of years, and you sit in editorial meetings, and here are the stories of the week, and which one are we going to cover, and what will we emphasize, and who's going to cover what? And it goes around the circle, and everyone says, no, that story's a dog. That's a non-starter. No. Or a reporter or a broadcaster wants to cover something, and the editor says, I don't think so. You know, that's abortion, that's gridlock. Mm-hmm. It's worse than the death penalty. We're not going there this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes into the slush fund, or slush pile, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't get the story. We don't get the facts. We're not told the truth. And, you know, at that level, I don't think that the reporters and the editors are evil behind it. I think that, you know, it's human nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to tell a tough story. And there aren't a lot of winners with the story of abortion as it plays out in America today. But there's a huge profit motive behind it at the highest levels. And it influences it all the way down, as you note, Bill, to the headline that draws our mind in a particular direction when we think we're informing ourselves, and then settles in our heart when we decide what we're going to do as a result of the so-called facts that we've been presented.
Yeah. Kim, you're awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show. I will talk to you next week, and have a great day.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah. Appreciate the chance
Thank
to
you so
bring
much.
It out.
Thank you. 55 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break and be right back.